This is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
In a little while, I won't be here. In a little while, I'll be here. In a little while, you won't see me. In a little while, you will see me. Like, what is he talking about in a little while? Well, Jesus knew what they were thinking, what they were pondering amongst themselves. And so he answers the question. And that's what we've been talking about now, recently. Him addressing the question they never asked, but that they had. And he uses an illustration of a baby being born. He's talking about, you know, when a woman's with child, there's pain involved up until the end. And then there's that bundle of joy at the end.
Today, Pastor Troy will be explaining what some of the signs of the end times are going to look like. Jesus gives some important clues for discerning the approach of the end times. There'll be an increase in false messiahs, an increase in warfare, and increases in famine, plagues, and natural disasters. These are signs of the end times. Jesus gives you a warning in this passage to not be deceived, because these events are only the beginning of birth pains, and the end is still to come. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of John chapter 16 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
So today we're going to talk about the overcomer, and I'm not talking about you and I, the overcomer, as much as about Christ, the overcomer. See, it's in Him that we have peace and victory. Not in our own doings, but in Him. He's able to pick us up when we deviate, when we fall, and when we falter, when we forget and fail to trust Him in a circumstance and take it upon ourselves. He's able to overcome that and overcome the world so that He can pick us up and allow us to continue walking. We're going to learn some lessons from the overcomer. So to get some context as we get started, Jesus has been talking to His disciples for a while now. It started in the upper room. They were having the Passover meal together. He girded Himself up and He washed the disciples' feet. Told them to do that for one another. But the teaching continued. Now it was interrupted by a couple of small things. You'll see that mostly it's all red letters. One was Judas. Judas had something he needed to do, and so Jesus addressed him and told him, what you must do, go do. And then the rest of any black letters between that time and now are mostly the disciples going, what? I don't get it. I don't know what he's saying. Because Jesus is teaching them intensely. You know why he's so intense? We'll talk about it a little more as we talk about his prayer. We begin to unpack his prayer before he's leaving also. And that's the reason he's so intense in his teaching now. He's telling them everything. He's going. And that's some of what he's told them. He's told them, I am leaving. You're going to continue the work. You're going to have a helper. You're going to have access to the Father. Anything that you need, He can give you. And they've been speaking amongst themselves wherever there are the black letter interruptions. He said, they're like, what is he saying? In a little while, I won't be here. In a little while, I'll be here. In a little while, you won't see me. In a little while, you will see me. Like, what is he talking about in a little while? Well, Jesus knew what they were thinking, what they were pondering amongst themselves. And so he answers the question. And that's what we've been talking about now, recently. Him addressing the question they never asked, but that they had. And he uses an illustration of a baby being born. He's talking about, you know, when a woman's with child, there's pain involved up until the end. And then there's that bundle of joy at the end. That's what it's going to be like. I'm going to be gone and people are going to rejoice and celebrate this. But don't worry, your joy will be made full and it'll never be taken away. And then he says, I came from the Father. I'm going back to the Father. So he's explained that to him, and now we see their response in verse 29. His disciples said to him, See, Now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should ask question. So what they're saying is, you answered this without us asking, and we get it now. You don't even need us to ask the questions. And then they say, last sentence, by this we believe that you came forth from God. Well, the first thing we're going to talk about, and this is not the best news for us, but it's true. These are lessons from the overcomer. The first is, our faith is unreliable. A better way to put that is, our confidence is unreliable. But to keep with all of the F's, our faith is unreliable. They say, by this we believe. What is this? By what do they believe that he came forth from God? Well, they just said, we know you know all things. You're speaking plainly now. You're answering the question. And now we know you know all things. We don't even have to ask you a question. And so what they're saying is, there was this moment. You know what's in our heart. You know what we're thinking. And you answered. We didn't have to ask. And you're going back to the, we get it. You know everything. I mean, you know things. So this epiphany, it hits them. It's a moment. It's this important moment that they experience that gets them really excited. Jesus started elaborating on the exact things they had questions about, as if they had asked the question, but they hadn't. And then he concludes, I came forth from the Father, I'm returning to the Father. And they think, we get it. You're no mere man. I mean, this is amazing. You know things. I mean, they knew this. I mean, look at all that Jesus has done up to this point. But it's just now that it's like, bing. It's this moment. And the problem is, their excitement generated from this moment causes them to speak of something so confidently. Because in this moment, I'm all in. Man, I am going for it. We know now. And they're excited. So they have an epiphany. They're excited. And they make a bold profession of faith. We know. How many times do we get ourselves psyched up because we have an exciting moment, an epiphany of some sort? Oh, I get it. I see. Oh, Lord, I'm all in, man. I can keep going forever now. And we get excited. And we intend to do exactly what we said. I'm never going to worry. I'm going to be all in, Lord. I'm going to do it the way you say. I'm going to trust you now. Like we shouldn't have been all along. But this moment is so important to us. It means so much to us. We're feeling it. Something cool happens and it gives us a confidence. But here's our problem. We don't realize that in the very, maybe even near future, real life is going to hit us in the face. I'm on a high. Oh, I can do this. I can float from mountaintop to mountaintop. Until I commit myself and the real world hits me. And it hits me right in the mouth. It was Mike Tyson that said, every man comes in with a plan until he gets hit in the mouth. It's true. We go, yeah, I'm ready, I'm in. And then the real world hits us and it's like, whoa, I didn't expect that. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Oh, Lord, I'm worried again. I know I said I wasn't going to. And then we're back in the trenches. This is what happens when our faith is based upon a feeling. When we take a moment and we're excited about that moment and everything revolves around that moment, then we're high, but then the world hits us and we're low. And then I get another moment. Oh, I'm high, and then I'm low again. The world hits us and we're very unstable, tossed about, because I need that feeling. I need that moment. I need something. When our faith is based upon how we feel or some experience or some moment, or, you know, I was there and I was saying, Lord, if you're real, and oh, I saw a cross. There's a cross. Look. There's tons of crosses. You walked into a Christian bookstore. There it is. Show me a cross. And we look for these little moments, and our faith is sort of up and down based upon the moment. But see, following the Lord, there are those moments, but we're established not by moments. We're established by the Word of God. What does His Word say? That becomes more important than any moment. Some of those moments aren't even in the right context. I mean, it's we hear a scripture, we put it together, a situation, and it's totally unbiblical, but we pieced it together. I put it together. And we're not living our life because we trust in Him and in His Word, in Jesus. We're trusting in an experience or a moment. And I think this happens to some when they come to church. For the first time, they decide, I'm going to come. They get drugged there or whatever it was. And they come to church, and it's like they sit there. I don't want to be here. But all of a sudden, it's like this guy knows me. Does he know my life? What's going on here? Did you guys tell him about me? And so you hear someone talking about you, and it's like a moment. Like, whoa, this is not normal. This is weird. And then you hear, and God will take all your problems. And you hear that, and you put that together and go, oh, I'd like that. He's talking about me. This is a strange moment. There must be a God. But there's no connection with Christ. There's no connection with Jesus. Just a moment. And so they at the end, you come forward. There's an altar call. Well, this was amazing. I got to top this off. I need to come down. And this moment moves you. It inspires you. Now, forget about repentance, following Christ. This was a moment. And so you put your faith in a moment. You put your hope in a moment. Problem is, you leave that moment. Things don't go the way you expected. The moment changes. And now, I don't know, was that real? I don't know if that was real. You know, we stayed up really late and had that late night pizza. Maybe that was a little of that pizza working itself into my mind or something like that. And then you doubt because you're trusting in a moment. Did that moment really happen? Was it really the Lord?
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible, and you can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later, or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way, you'll never miss a teaching, and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message.
See, we're called to believe His Word. You either believe His Word or you don't. When you believe in His Word, you believe in Him. You get to know Him through His Word, and you believe in Him. And no matter how you feel or no matter what moments you do or don't have, they're not what sway you or give you your confidence. You trust His Word no matter what the world says, no matter what the circumstances look like. I trust His Word. And if I can't find an answer that comes from His Word, then I'm not going to put a lot of substance in this thing I felt or thought I experienced or thought I saw. So many signs people are looking for. But what we need to know is His Word. We need to know Him and build our life upon it. So things don't go the way we thought, and then the moment is gone, and we begin to wonder, was that really the Lord? They'll come forward, and then they start to wonder, did a transaction actually take place? And then they end up going back to their old ways of life. Because there was no real transaction, no repentance, no trusting in the Lord, no going, Jesus, when you speak, I want to follow you. When I fail, I'm going to get back up, and I'm not going to ask for a new plan. What's your plan now? I'm going to get up, and I'm going to follow you. You don't change. And so I'm going to trust you. Yes, I had a relationship with somebody outside of marriage that I shouldn't have. And so, Lord, through consequences and through great pain, I repent. I turn to you, Lord, please help me. Now, what is your plan for me? And he says to you, my plan for you is that you remain pure until I bring the right one. But I've already given that up. No, you have not. I'm God. You're pure. And so I want you to remain pure. The plan is the same. And we begin to follow and we trust the Lord. Well, Lord, at my last job, I had to lie to get it, and I'm afraid that I might lose this job if I don't. I said, yeah, that's you being you. You're not trusting me. If I want you to have this job, then your honesty will not cause you to lose the job. I want you to be honest. It hasn't changed. Oh, but if I just get this promotion, I could give more at church. Well, that would be nice. However, you're not giving now at church, for one. And two, if I want you to have this promotion, you be honest. And then you'll know I got you the promotion, not you. Charles Spurgeon, in his book, The Soul Winner, wrote, there must be a harmony between the life and the profession. A Christian professes to renounce sin. And if he does not do so, his very name is as an impostor. A drunken man came up to Roland Hill one day and said, I am one of your converts, Mr. Hill. I dare say you are, replied the shrewd and sensible preacher. You may be my convert, but you are not the Lord's convert, or you would not be a drunk. To this practical test, we must bring all of our work, Charles Spurgeon said. So when we say that we believe, the question is, what do we believe? What exactly do you believe? What is your faith in? Because see, our faith, what we put faith in, is not important. I mean, is not going to sustain us. It's what our faith is in. Is it true? We must believe the right thing. We must believe the truth. Some people will put their faith in the word, but out of context. There's just as much problem with doing that also. There's no promise for you that God will uphold you and help you and give you victory when you're holding on to his word out of context. It doesn't say that. Yes, the words say that, but it doesn't say that. That's not what he's talking about. We talked about one last week. I'll bring it up again today. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. And so what happens is some try to do all things. They try to do everything. Well, I'm wore out. I've got so much on my plate. I'm doing more. I'm helping them and I'm helping there. And there's one more thing. Well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nope. You're headed for a fail. You're going to be crushed. You're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to have to fall, be crushed, be led by those still waters and refreshed and recovered, experience maybe even some consequences for trying to take too much upon yourself, doing more damage than good. And then you're going to find that what could have been a joy and a peaceful journey could have been avoided. You could have had that and avoided what was not a joy and a peaceful journey, taken upon yourself what God never gave you. You see, we talked about it last week, but I'll talk about it again. God didn't say, Paul didn't write, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because we can do everything. He was saying God's going to ask you to do certain things like he'd asked Paul, and you're not going to feel like you can do it. There are going to be times where you don't have stuff, where you are afraid, where it seems beyond you. But don't worry, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was the context. Now, in that vein, you can do it. You can hold on to that promise. If God has asked you, then you know you can do it. Slip. Oh, get back up again. You can do what God's given you to do. But you can't expect that he's going to ensure your victories when you take your own path or when you take things upon yourself. We do our own damage. God never, ever does anything to harm us, only to help us. And some of the things he says not to pick up are for our own good. Does it mean he doesn't care about those things? He cares. But he cares about you. He says, look, that's too heavy for you. But we need this moved. You know, if I want that moved, I'll move it. You keep your eyes on me. Follow me. Because you're not going to have any joy in your walk, no victory in your walk, unless you do. If you keep trying to fix everything, if you keep trying to reach for everything, you're going to be drained. There'll be no peace. There'll be no joy, no victory. So, the disciples, they think they got it figured out. We have got this, Lord. Now we know. And look what he says. Do you think he celebrates with them this moment? This moment, this epiphany? Look what he says. Verse 31, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Second thing, and this is good news, our failure is understandable. God knows about our failure, and he knows where we're at in our faith. Jesus is saying, all that I've told you, all that I've said, you should believe, and yet now you have this moment. We know stuff. Whoa, now we believe. Now we know. He says, now you're saying this one little moment is going to be enough for you. And then he tells them, things are about to happen that are going to shake you to your core. You have no clue yet. They're going to fail. They're going to run. They're going to scatter. He's telling them now that's going to happen. Of course, he's talking about the time when he's arrested. And they're going to want to stand firm, but that's not what's going to happen ultimately. They're going to run. They're going to leave him alone. Now, they won't intend to do that. They won't go into this intending to do that. And they also won't go, well, he did say we're going to scatter. Let's go, guys. It's the will of God. No, that wasn't God's best for them. He just knew that's what they were going to do in advance. Peter, in this whole unfolding, will also, when Jesus says something like this, he says in other gospels, even if everyone leaves you, I will not. Jesus says to him, Peter, by the time the rooster crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times. Not only are you going to scatter, you're going to deny me three times. That coming from the guy who says, I will not. But see, the Lord knows where we're at in our faith. He really does. And he cares about where we're at in our faith. Not like, you know, like I said, with our own child, we don't let him walk three or four times and go, you should have had it by now. I'm done with you. We care. We want them to grow and develop. We know that walking is very important for their future. And the Lord knows the same thing about faith as it concerns our future. And so he wants to invest in that. He wants to build that. But we will never grow in that unless we keep getting back up again. Now, part of getting back up again is not just getting back up and doing what we want. It's getting back up again and going, okay, I'm sorry. I got my eyes off of you. Let me do it your way. So he knows that there are things in life that will put us on our heels. You get a diagnosis that overwhelms you. Like, oh my goodness.
Pastor Troy has been teaching through the Gospel of John here on Building on the Solid Rock. Different than other gospel books, John introduces his book by going further back than when Jesus was born as a baby. He delved into the very nature of God and solidified throughout his writing that Jesus was the Son of God. This backdrop gives you a different insight into Jesus as a man as he lived here on earth. It's no wonder that the book of John includes so many miracles, because it's evidence that only God could do such things. If you're curious to hear more of the teachings from this book, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can listen online or download the message to share with others. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send us an email through our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Troy next time as he continues in the book of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.